I also saw your tweets where you was saying that it was a backcourt better than me and CJ too.
Today?
Well, I don't see how it would be today after tonight, but I did. You were saying
you were saying
the Wizards backcourt.
I raised it as an option because someone said there was no contest. So I said, well, what about Beal and Westbrook?
That's incredible.
Don't hide.
CJ combining for 68 points, 23 assists, and a win over the Kings. Richard, I'll ask you the simple question. Do the Blazers have the best backcourt in the league?
Yes. Christian James and Dame Dalla are the best backcourt in this league currently.
Robert?
But don't hide.
You know, I'm not going to say they're the best. I'm not going to say that. I love Dame. I love him to death. But think about it. Bradley Beal's putting on a show. Westbrook is an MVP, triple-double. So there's an argument for a lot of other duos out there.
But my thing is this. Don't hide behind it. If I was that guy, he was like, today? I didn't tweet. It's like, no, look. At the end of the day,
say this. What you going to say.
Hey, look, do you have an MVP? Have you played in the finals? Because that duo has an individual that has done both.
Well, yes. I would say, though, that Westbrook has not found his footing quite yet with the Wizards right now, and I would certainly give it to Dame and CJ, or as you have taken to calling him.
Christian James.
There we go. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside a couple of NBA champions, Richard Jefferson, Robert Horry. I would like to brag that between the three of us, we have 8 rings. That's the right way to say it, Richard.
That is right.
We need to say anything more. Who has 7 on this
panel? We're a team, baby.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. So kind. Coming up, how good are the Rockets now after acquiring Victor Oladipo in that massive 4-team blockbuster trade? We will discuss the Houston side of things in a moment, but you know where we're going first. Yeah, Brooklyn. It says something about a trade if we can simultaneously have been talking about it possibly happening for months and have it knock everyone over when it comes through. Durant, Harden, Kyrie, all on one team. It's a dazzling collection of basketball talent. Durant on his way to proving he's right back up there with LeBron as the best player in the NBA. Harden, one of the game's greatest ever scorers, who's finished top 5 in MVP voting 6 of the past 7 years. Kyrie is the league's best ball handler who can flat out perform magic around the hoop. They are 3 of the most outrageously talented players in the league. But there are also, of course, 3 of the NBA's most distinct personalities, making all of this potentially explosive in about 100 different directions, both good and bad. So what does happen when 3 crazy kids moved into one of those Brooklyn lofts together to try to take on the world? I'm glad you asked. Yes, in honor of this mega trade, The Jump presents our latest show within a show. 3's Company, Brooklyn Edition. And just like with Jack, Janet, and Chrissy,
you can expect
plenty of hijinks.
Why you got Kyrie's face looking like that?
As we see
everybody
how
else
this
smiling.
Group meshes. Well,
why did they put him in Chrissy's spot, though?
Now, executive producer, I mean, Nets general manager Sean Marks is optimistic. Here he was this morning talking about the screaming neon elephant in the room, team chemistry.
Look, I think whenever you're meshing personalities, I think we've got to wait and see how this all fits on the floor and so forth. I think these guys have given us the right answers. They've said, hey, they want to play together. They can see this fitting. And I think they're at a time in their careers. They understand that there's without a doubt going to be some nights where one or two need to sacrifice for the other and so forth. But I think they're all looking for that common goal.
Marks added that Harden and Durant already knowing and liking each other should help speed the team building process here. Perhaps, although as he was speaking, it was hard to not think about how that same scenario went so wrong between Harden and Russell Westbrook that Russ asked out after just one season. As for the Kyrie angle, Marks denied that Kyrie's current situation spurred the Nets to finally pull the trigger on this trade, insisting it was not a hedge to give Durant a more reliable co-star. He also noted Kyrie is, quote, very excited to return to the team after his mysterious absence. But honestly, none of that addresses what is going to be the real issue going forward. Is Kyrie going to be okay with essentially being the third option in Brooklyn behind 2 former MVPs? We know part of why Kyrie asked out of Cleveland was because he didn't want to continue shaping either his game or his standing on the team around LeBron anymore. We know there were issues coexisting with teammates in Boston. We know that in other recent big threes, guys like Kevin Love, Chris Bosh have had some trouble adjusting to that third role. And these 2 guys, well, they're at least notoriously mellow. At least Kyrie plays a different position. He will have the ball in his hands more. Maybe Ray Allen in Boston is a better comparison. Although, of course, we know how that team dynamic ended also. Clearly, it is something to watch, as is how this team, how this Nets team looks on the defensive end. With Jared Allen out the door, the Nets no longer have anyone who you would call a defensive standout. In fact, five of the Nets' key rotation players had a negative defensive real plus minus last season. That's a lot. Still, all Brooklyn really needs is a functional level of team defense, something KD and Kyrie, and yes, at times, yes, even James, have shown to be capable of. So if they want to play hard on that end, they can. Also, let's be honest, there's going to be plenty of nights, at least in the regular season, they won't have to. In a year where there is no plan to hold an actual All-Star game, Brooklyn should have plenty of that vibe nightly. At their best, we could see a three-ring circus of death-defying feats of basketball brilliance. Will it be enough to threaten the defending champion Lakers at the very top of the NBA pyramid? We'll have to see. Will it be enough to cause an arms race in the East with the Bucks, Sixers, Heat, or Celtics now trying to pull off their own big trades? We will see. Will it be three's company or three's a crowd? I don't know. But after all these months of speculating about this trade, it's going to be a whole lot of fun watching it all play out. I think they look good on that couch, Rick.
I think they look great.
I'm just saying, now that the deal's finally done, what do you expect from James Harden in Houston?
Well, again, you know this. When you're trying to fight for a championship, and I don't appreciate you asking me that question and just taking a sip and watching me just go out there like that. But
just me sipping the tea.
No.
Literally sipping actual tea.
Everybody has to be on the same page pushing in the right direction. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. You look at the Clippers situation. There's been tons of talented teams that for whatever reason, they weren't connecting, they weren't vibing. And so I think everyone should be optimistic. I'm optimistic. Everyone should be excited about this. And to your point about no defense, it's like, look, if two of the three of those guys have it going on the night, they're going to beat all but maybe one or two teams in this league. If all three of them are moving and playing well, the difference between this three and, let's say, the big three that Golden State had with Kevin Durant, those guys were all ball movers and shooters, right? Klay Thompson was moving off screens. Klay was moving off screens. The three of these guys are all ball handlers.
I'm still looking at this team like who's going to take over, because we look at James Harden, he gets his rhythm by playing with the Rock. KD playing with the Rock. Mm-hmm. Kyrie playing with the Rock. So that is going to be trouble because they're not shooters like Steph and Klay who can come out and shoot the ball. So this big three is a little bit worrisome for me because they all playing with the Rock. And now who's going to play defense? Who's going to come off the bench? They gave away a lot to get this guy, and now they have nothing, because at the end of the day, you need what people like to call the others, the bench, to step up. They have no bench. They have nobody to step up. So I'm looking at the three J's, Jeff, Jordan, and the other guy, the shooter, to come off.
Joe Harris.
To shoot the ball and play. They gotta step up, and we know Jordan is old. We don't know how he's going to step up. So, I know how it is when you get up in age and still trying to compete.
We both do. But the crazy thing is, too, is when you look at it, obviously there's questions about Kyrie, what his situation is. Mm-hmm. And then James Harden is obviously not in the championship shape that he has been the last few years. And when
that gets fixed over the course of the season.
But this is my thing. Like, look at this picture here. This was James Harden going into the bubble. People were talking about how amazing shape he was. Now, he overjumped this shape and went to the next position. So he went from super, super skinny to and he did this in about a three-month span. So that some of that is probably unhappy, and he's not wanting to be there, and we're just not going to allude to other things. But to win a championship, and we're talking about winning championships, you gotta be
body shaming on this show, Richard.
It's not body shape. I'm saying he's unhappy.
Unhappy. I think
come on.
Fine. You look at his body and you look at
same thing with Jokic last year. Jokic wasn't in great shape. He got in great shape. They went to a conference final.
Okay, so you guys have both been in versions of this kind of situation. You played on a team, right, with Vince Carter, with Jay Kidd. Robert, I can name several teams that you played in, several locker rooms with big personalities, big, huge stars. How does it sort itself out? How does that work over the course of a season?
You have to have someone that's not one of the big three who's willing to step up and say, hey, guys, this ain't about you three. It's about us as a team. I want to win a championship just as bad as you guys. Just because you're making the most money, you're getting the most notoriety, I'm still on this team. You know, I'm looking at Jeff Green to be that guy. Huh. He's a voice of reason. People forget he's played with KD before when KD first came into the league. So he might have his ear. So he can talk to these guys and say, hey, listen, it ain't about you. Let's work this thing out and play together as a team and win a championship, because that is the goal, to cement our name in history.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say is this. Look, now KD's won some championships, right? Kyrie's won a championship. James Harden is the one that hasn't, right? So I know that these guys are motivated, but there is a different type of motivation when you're searching for something that you haven't found yet, right? And it's like, look, they've won all the awards. Kyrie's won the Rookie of the Year. He's won all the other stuff. He's probably not going to win an MVP with this team, but I'm just saying, it's like, what are they fighting for? And so when you're trying to fight for something you haven't gotten, there's easier to make sacrifices a la the Big Three, a la the Miami Big Three. They're fighting for something that they haven't gotten yet. So that's one thing about this Brooklyn team. Are they full already? Right?
Right. I mean, it's like you, when you were with the Nets, you stepped up and said, look, I know I'm far and away so much better than you, Jason Kidd or Vince Carter, but I'm willing to.
Well, this is the best thing that ever happened to me playing on that those teams. Is on most nights, I got the third, shut up, I got the third best defender on most nights.
Right.
I got the third best defender.
That makes a big difference.
So if you got the third best defender, having to guard James Harden or having to guard Kyrie or having to guard Kevin Durant, that is a nightmare.
Yep.
Right? Like,
do they really play defense nowadays?
But if your third if the third best person that barely plays defense is having to guard one of those offensive monsters,
right?
There's really not a lot of answer for that.
Absolutely, and maybe that's a way you can look at being maybe the third option is a good thing.
Okay.
Coming up, Richard and Robert will tell me which team is better on paper right now, the Nets or the defending champion Lakers. All right, guys, Lakers ending up beating the Thunder by 29 points. Let's have a little chat about that. Six Lakers scoring double digits. Now, after the game, LeBron asked about the Harden and Nets trade, and here is what he said.
I don't really have too much of a reaction. You know, obviously, trades and things happen every year. And, you know, for me, you know, my main focus on what we do here and how we continue to get better. And that was the case today, you know. You know, the trades happened today, and I couldn't allow myself to kind of indulge in that, knowing that we had a team that we had to play tonight. So my main focus today was on the Thunder.
Well, LeBron doesn't want to look ahead, but we sure as hell do. Richard, which team is better on paper? On paper, obviously, the Nets or the Lakers?
Oh, the Lakers, you don't disrespect the champion. The Lakers are the best team in the NBA. They were last year and they are this year. That team on the right has a lot of work to do as far as building the chemistry to get to a championship. It's never just...
That's why I said on paper.
I know on paper, but we can't even just...
On paper, on the floor, Lakers by far. Because if you look at that team, LeBron's going to have an off night to play defense. That's going to make him that much better if those are the lineups. So there's no way the Nets can even contend with the Lakers. Their bench is not there. Their starters are not there. Not taken away from the three, big three. But if you look at that Lakers squad, they got a skill set with the additions they just had.
And real quick, let's talk about the Nets. If Kyrie comes back 100% healthy, James Harden gets in championship condition, right? Everything starts rolling for the Nets. Mm-hmm. They are a huge problem. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot more ifs. The Lakers already are a problem. They are the champion. They are the team that's favored to win the championship. So when you look at which team has more work to do to get to peak championship form, it's the Nets. And so, you know, even on paper, I think there's a lot more for the Nets. But, boy, I love that roster right now. I like what they have. I like the stars. It makes it fun to watch basketball.
Isn't that really a roster yet, though?
Well, it's a roster.
It's a roster.
Let's see if it's a team.
It's paper.
The Nets still have some cap room to, you know, bring in whoever. No, not me. I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Pete.
There's nothing out there.
Follow up on your LeBron defensive point and sort of the larger point we've been talking about defense on the Nets side. I'm looking at our ESPN stats and info group, and they're saying that LeBron James allowed opponents to shoot just 30% when he's the contesting defender, which is by far the best in the NBA so far this season. So if you are looking at sort of was LeBron's defense going to drop back off a little bit this season after he made such a concerted effort last year, is he setting the same tone in the regular season now after such a short offseason? Numerically, the answer so far is yes. So we'll have to see in the hypothetical finals between those two teams.
Numerically, he wasn't guarding KD, James Harden, and Kyrie on one possession.
That's why he has KCP, AD,
tell
other guys. So
it's
you don't have
fun
to play.
Up next, we will welcome in longtime Rockets reporter, our insider Tim McMahon, to discuss what James Harden's legacy in Houston should be. We're also running back his most memorable moments with the Rockets. James's, not Tim's, which would be a totally different tape.
Timmy Mac.
We'll get there. Here's what the Jump recommends for today as well. Zach Lowe answering all of the massive questions in the wake of the Harden blockbuster. Head over to the app during the quick break to read it, but the Jump will be right back. Time to run it back to James Harden's most memorable moments as a Rocket. Take a look.
We got back-to-back 40-point games for you. The last time a Rocket had back-to-back 43-point games was back in 1982, Moses Malone.
I wasn't even born there. Rest in peace. I wasn't even born there, though. You know, Hall of Famer.
But you got your rhythm going now. Thanks, James.
That 2015, the beard was feeling sassy. That was a Hall of Fame moment. He actually recreated this
so funny
for us at Media Day. Watch this.
There we go. It wasn't the same.
All right, that had to make the top five. Number four, 2014, ooh. Aaron Baines on a poster.
Oh, that's like, you could do James Harden highlights. Right. All show.
Yes.
This man's got enough highlights to just, you know.
When you're left-handed, you get more people with the dunk than anybody because they're so used to right-handed guys.
Oh, no. Kelly Oubre been catching.
But he also does this. 2019, breaking Jamal Murray's ankles hard.
You got no business being out there on his body like that.
Hey, what are you thinking, Jamal? I'm like, are you serious right now? I'm like, you're... A lot of these ankle
you know
breakers,
that's not the last.
You gotta get a better shoot.
You know the Clippers are about to get on this highlight. Here come the. I ain't seen it.
2019, beating the Dubs in OT.
You ain't gotta look at Draymond and talk to him like that though.
Oh, nice. That, you know.
But that's what made the point.
I know. I just
one of the best defenders in the game on you, and this
and one. Yeah. And look at that. Yeah. Two of them.
Two of the best defenders, right?
Look at that.
Whew. And you know,
look at them.
You guys know what was gonna be number one. You know what was gonna be number one. 2018, Harden snatching Wesley Johnson's ankles.
Oh, my God, Wesley. And then
now
look at him.
An ankle breaker.
There's nothing better because after this,
Wesley.
He licked his lips. He actually looked at him and licked his lips.
That's not cool.
And then goodness. Talked about it afterward.
Oh, no.
That takes a lot of gall to
good.
Do that, boy. That's James.
I remember like it was yesterday. Just the entire sequence, and you know, as I got ready to shoot my shot, and I looked down, and he was looking at me, and kind of had like a face off for like 2 seconds, and it was just like, and I kind of felt bad, but then I wanted to wait a little longer. It was just an instinct. It wasn't like I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. It was just my lips was dry a little bit. I don't know.
He wasn't trying to do anything disrespectful, guys.
Kids, go home and Google Randolph Childress.
I was about to say the same thing.
Randolph Childress.
That was the best.
Google Randolph Childress. That until that play, the Randolph Childress thing was the most disrespectful thing that I had seen on the basketball
court. But it's not anymore.
It ain't that anymore.
To that. All right, we are now thrilled to welcome in ESPN reporter Tim McMahon, who has covered the Rockets for a long time. You have been leading the league in usage rate among reporters in this last month or two, Tim. Of course, now with James leaving the Rockets, he is the second leading scorer in franchise history behind Hakeem. Harden first in assists, three-pointers made, free throws, all-star spot in 8 seasons as a Rocket. So given the long picture, not just this morning when everyone woke up, but big picture, what should James Harden's legacy in Houston be?
You know, I really think it is a complicated legacy. He is, with all due respect to Moses Malone and you, Robert, he's the second best player in franchise history. But unlike Hakeem, he did not deliver a championship. Unlike Hakeem, he did not, you know, stay in Houston for his entire prime. And then obviously this was a bitter divorce. And I think part of Harden's legacy is obviously the individual brilliance. He was a perennial MVP candidate, won the MVP, the scoring titles, the assist titles, revolutionized offensive basketball in the NBA. But there's also the short shelf life with his hand-picked co-stars. 3 years, then he couldn't wait to get rid of Dwight Howard. 2 years with Chris Paul. 1 year with Russell Westbrook, then they both wanted out. And so I think that has to be considered part of, like I said, what is really a complicated legacy for James Harden with the Rockets.
What do you guys see as Harden's legacy there?
Well, look, this is what his legacy is going to be. No one will ever wear his jersey again, and his jersey will hang up in the Raptors at some point in time. That is the biggest compliment to somebody's legacy. That's starting it. Yes, it is very, very complicated, like Tim. He is the second best player to ever play for the Rockets. All of these things are compliments because they have a great, like Clyde Drexler, they've had great players. But
Robert
Horry, obviously, they drafted me, so I'm going to count myself in that also. But ultimately, I think that's where you look at the final piece of his legacy. And will anybody wear his jersey again? Will it hang up in the Raptors? And the answer is yes.
I don't know about that one. Because you got to understand, Tillman Fertitta is the owner of this team now. He only had the pleasure of having Harden for 3 years. So I don't know if he's going to say, okay, we're going to put him up in the Raptors like the other guys who cemented their legs. Those guys are in the Raptors. So it's going to be difficult because if you look at what James did, he never really took him to the promised land. Yeah. He asked for all this stuff. He got a big contract. He got all these players to place around him. And then he left town, and it mattered they left town. So right now, there is a nasty taste in the mouth of the Houston's fans. And that's what's the most important thing, the Houston's fans. But we gave you everything you wanted. We did all these things. And tell me, even when I tried to open up a restaurant for this dude, and he left. And so there's a lot of things that the taste is not so great in Houston. And Houston only respects champions because look at Warren Moon, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but they don't really put him in the Houston football legacy because he did not win a championship.
Tim, I don't know how you see that. And also, by the way, how you see the fact that James did end up going to Brooklyn when we know the conversations were also so hot and heavy with Philadelphia. Philadelphia that was willing to offer them Ben Simmons in return. Did any kind of sort of bad feelings either about Harden wanting to leave or about his old friend Daryl Morey being the guy in Philadelphia play into this as well?
Well, clearly the bad feelings about Harden wanting to leave didn't impact the final decision because he got his first choice. His first choice was to go to Brooklyn, and then he was like, okay, I'll be fine with Philly, and then some other teams got added to the list. I really don't think that the relationship and, you know, the whatever friction there might be with Daryl Morey was a real factor here. You know, look, Ben Simmons was on the table. The Rockets did not get the young franchise cornerstone that they'd been insistent on getting in return for James Harden. I just think, though, when it got down to it, the historic package of picks that they got back from the Nets, that was the deciding factor. The fact that those picks are dated well beyond what will be the primes of Harden, KD, and Kyrie. For a rebuilding franchise, I just think that ended up being something they felt like they could not pass up when they basically had to make a deal.
Well, you mentioned the picks. Also, they ended up with Victor Oladipo out of all of this, Dante Exum, right? So let's take a look. How good is Houston right now? You've got Oladipo joining John Wall in that backcourt. What do you think, Robert?
It's the injury squad right now. Everybody's coming back from injuries. Are they going to be healthy enough? Because these three guys that they have are great players. Cousins, if he can get healthy, good.
Stay healthy. Wall, they're all healthy now.
Good. So stay healthy. But if you look at some of them, they're still limping a little bit. And so I don't think they're 100%. So if they can get these guys and get them healthy, they're fine. But those picks, I'm looking at them using those picks because there's going to be another disgruntled superstar out there that's going to say, I want out. And what better place to go than Houston with no state tax.
No state tax.
A great team and picks. So they set themselves up for future, something down the line.
And for a guy like Victor Oladipo, I look at Gordon Hayward, right? Like Gordon Hayward was averaging 17 points a game in Boston on a championship caliber team. And people were still saying like, oh, well, Gordon Hayward. It's like, no, he's good. Now he's averaging 22 a night in Charlotte because he's got a little bit more leash. He can have a bad night, not have to worry about people criticizing him because he's our guy. Victor Oladipo now has the platform, has the runway to go be a high-level scorer on this team. And it's a matter of getting those reps, getting those minutes, and just going out there and playing. So I like what they have at Victor Oladipo. And to his point, if you have all of these picks, that's how they got James Harden. Mm-hmm. They took traded a couple of players and got a bunch of picks, and then that's what they shipped to OKC to get James Harden. So now it might not be disgruntled. It might just be somebody that's not re-signing.
Right.
It could be somebody that's like, I want to enter free agency, and they don't want to risk it. So it doesn't always have to be disgruntled. A lot of times it is. But there are other scenarios where it's not always such a bad situation, and you have all of this stuff that you've collected to put out there. That's similar to what Danny Ainge did to get Kyrie.
Yep.
It's just going to be another superstar that want to, see the grass is green on the other side.
What do you think, Tim?
I do think the other thing we need to keep an eye here on Victor Oladipo before the trade deadline.
There we go. I was waiting for this one.
Whether he fits really well or not. Look, He's an expiring contract, and I think that's the primary reason that he was more attractive to the Rockets than Caris LeVert, who has 2 years after this year at about 18 mil per year. And Victor Oladipo, as an expiring contract, maybe there's a team that really likes what they see. They want his bird rights. Maybe there's a team that, you know, just sees value in having the expiring contract. But that is it could be another really significant chip for Rafael Stone, the new Rockets general manager, to play in the trade market.
Here in Miami, are you interested in Victor Oladipo? There's a lot of teams you can see him fitting in with. Well, we'll have plenty of the season to talk about that. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. I expect you to be no less busy than you have been. We will be looking for all your work.
Thank you.
All right, guys, coming up, who should take the last shot for the Nets now that Harden is joining KD and Kyrie?
Kevin Durant.
No one better to ask than these two. They will make the call after this quick break.
Hey, my guy Beef Jerky Joe, leave him alone.
Kyrie's absence and, you know, the personal issues that he's dealing with, it has nothing to do with us, you know, going after and attaining James Harden in this. Regarding Kyrie and when he'll be hopefully back and rejoining the team, you know, part of that is going to be up for the NBA, and we're waiting for them to come out with their ruling on the health and safety protocols. Hopefully we'll have a ruling soon. You know, I have talked to Kyrie, so I know he's excited about getting back on the court with his teammates, you know, as soon as possible. You know, without a doubt, I'm not going to shy away from it. Without a doubt, the organization's disappointed with not having, you know, any one of our players. In this particular case, Kyrie, not amongst us, not, you know, in the trenches with us and so forth. So, you know, I don't want to speculate and say why he's out and so forth. We've got to support, whether it's our players or whether it's our staff, and you would do that in any industry. But, you know, you also hope there is more than adequate excuse as to, like, why he needs personal time.
You hope there is a more than adequate excuse as to why he needs personal time. That was Nets GM Sean Marks addressing the absence of Kyrie Irving due to personal reasons. Guys, let's assume Kyrie comes back. Sean also said today that Kyrie is very excited to come back. It is up to the league, of course, to see when he can come back with COVID protocols. But if we look at the new big three in action, in the last 10 seasons, only 8 players have scored more than 1,000 points in the clutch. Guess what? Out of 8, the Nets now have 3 of them.
And KD missed the whole season.
So, big shot, Rob. Who should take the big shot, the last shot, if they're all 3 on the court?
You have to go with KD. His skill set is by far above those guys. Not saying a lot, because he's 7 feet tall with the handles of Kyrie, with the shooting ability of James. So you got all 3 rolled in one, so you give the ball to KD and get out the way. That's all you got to do. I remember playing with Houston, getting the Lodge ball. You said, what play do you want? Give the dream and get out the way.
Get out the way.
That's what you do when you have a player like that.
Okay, here, let me answer their question. Steph, greatest shooter of all time. Klay Thompson, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Who was the guy that you wanted to take the last shot? It was Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. He was the guy. Now, I'm James Harden, and you got Kyrie Irving. Monsters. Kyrie's hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history. Kevin Durant is the guy that you want taking that last shot whenever possible. Now, you can't double him. You can't hedge him because you got 2 other monsters on both sides, right? So it's like, you know, and a lot of it, the last shot is about making the right play. So if you send 2 people at him, you got James Harden and you got Kyrie. Look, that's one of the biggest shots that has ever been taken on a basketball court in mm-hmm. NBA history, right? Nailed it, easy, just walks off. So I just think it really and truly, it's Kevin Durant. If he was the if he was the one that you wanted on those Golden State Warriors team, he's definitely the guy that you want on this Houston Rockets, or well, on this Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets, you gotta get used to that. Brooklyn Nets team. And look, we know they're all gonna have big shots, right? That's the quality of these players. As you say, it depends on the defense. Which shot do you think is either more guardable or harder to guard, however you want to phrase it? James Harden's step back 3. He's had the little sidestep sometimes now too. Or the Kevin Durant shot where he's just up over you in a way that is, I mean, we've had some of the great defenders in this league over the last 10 years just say that when Kevin Durant lines up, he's not guardable.
Well, you can't teach tall. Like, that's what they told us all the time. You can't mm-hmm. teach a 7.
So which one? Which one do you think?
The Kevin Durant shot.
That's more lethal. Far.
That's more lethal.
Yeah, because you can get someone that's either as tall as James quick mm-hmm. who can get to that shot. But there's nobody as tall as KD that can get to that shot. So, KD, by far.
Look, I even take you the Manu Ginobili swat from behind, mm-hmm. you know, against the Rockets. Like, you can kind of try and figure out ways to get that done. With Kevin Durant, he's like Dirk Nowitzki. You're not blocking his shot. You're not blocking a 7-foot high-release, high-arcing shot. it's happening in history, but it ain't.
Unless you get it from behind.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
But he's gonna pass. It is pretty remarkable to keep just saying this because this team is real now as opposed to months of speculation. You have two guys with two of the most unguardable shots in the game on the same team. Kyrie, who can be unguardable around the basket. I mean, Richard, you saw that up close, right?
Yeah, he's unguardable pretty much everywhere, right, with his handle, right? But it's just, yeah, it's different. You're talking about 2 seconds ago, 3 seconds ago, knock it down.
Right. So it's just, it's going to be a remarkable display. And I think who takes the last shot may be just solved by.
Who's licking their lips?
Yeah. Oh, poor Wes Matthews. And yet, it's still amazing. Up next, we are going to talk about Ben Simmons. Should he feel some type of way after being more than mentioned in trade rumors for James Harden? All right, guys, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Kristaps Porzingis making his season debut last night. He had 16 points in 21 minutes. Dallas 6-4 right now. So, Richard, are we about to see the Mavs really take off here?
Well, I hope so. Again, you have to be super cautious with an individual that has a history now. It's starting to become a longer history of injuries. But, yeah, if he's 100% healthy, because people forget, not only offensively, he's very good defensively also. So I think it's a great combination of him and Luka.
He's a very skilled big man. He's a poor man Dirk on that team. He can do everything Dirk could do, but play a little bit better defense. And he needs to stay healthy in order to help this team out. Because he's not healthy, they're going to be back where they were last year.
Yeah. It changes. And they still have that salary slot for a third person. Mm-hmm. That third person, there was hopes of it being Giannis Antetokounmpo. It will not be Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it is interesting now to see what they end up doing with it. But obviously, Porzingis is such a huge part of that equation. I want to head out to Philly. They were right on the brink of making a deal for James Harden yesterday. Ben Simmons' name mentioned in trade reports, right? Ooh. Just, I mean, really, as recently as within 20 minutes of when the actual trade was announced at 4 Eastern. So according to Mark Spears from The Undefeated, Simmons is, quote, pretty ecstatic after not being dealt to Houston. Robert, do you think he should just be glad it worked out the way it worked out, or do you think he should feel some type of way that they were clearly ready to deal him?
Been there, done that. I got traded to Detroit, was in a uniform getting ready to walk on the court, and they said, wait, Sean didn't pass his physical. And I came back to Houston in a whole different mindset. I said, I'm coming out being the best player I can be and not worry about anything. And I think he needs to understand that this is a business. You're going to get mentioned in trades all the time. That's a compliment. That means somebody wants you. If nobody wants you, your name's not going to be mentioned in trade. Mm-hmm. So he should just go out and use this opportunity to motivate him and show this organization why I was the number one pick in the draft, why you should be happy you kept me, because he is a remarkable player. And if I was Houston, this is the guy I would have wanted.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, the key thing here is who they're mentioning you in a trade for.
Right, James.
Right? They're mentioning you in a trade for James Harden. They're like, hey, there's a conversation between, you know, Anthony Davis for Ben Simmons. You're like, okay, I get it, right? So it's like, you know, understand that, like, a lot of times when these top 10 players start to shift and things start to happen, big names are going to come up because big names are available. And
right.
So, yeah, this is the thing. And now, look, Philly was already playing well. I know they hit a couple of bumps in the road, but they got off to a great start. So now you can take a little bit of that pressure off and just go and know that you're on this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Robert, that story is pretty incredible. I mean, it's one thing to hear your name in trade talks. It's another thing to actually be traded, put on the uniform of your, quote, new team, and then have a good enough attitude upon being shipped back that you went on to win a title that year.
Yes, it was 94.
I got so happy.
Listen, I'm from Alabama. I do not like the cold. You get to Detroit, and it's cold. And I'm sitting there. I'm not able to play. I'm sitting in the stands, and my mom called me that night. She says, baby, you okay? I said, why? She said, you look miserable in the stands. I didn't even know they had a shot of me on TV. But I realized that, you know, you have to take advantage of your opportunities. The Houston situation was perfect for me. Mm-hmm. Playing along Olajuwon, Vernon Maxwell, sure. Kenneth Smith, these guys, and Otis Thorpe. Three man. That's the perfect
original
spot.
Stretch fours, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
That was
the original
perfect stretch spot.
Fours.
And to not be traded to Detroit, I love the city of Detroit. I got family there, but being back in Houston opened my eyes. It made me a better player because if you look at my average, I went up by 4 points, which is a lot playing on that team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my rebounds and steals went up. I became one of the first 100 guys in NBA history playing with this team. So I was happy.
He was motivated. Like, hey, listen, I'm going to show y'all that y'all need to beat me.
Yeah, and you know, you got to have somebody in your ear. I know Danny Green's going to be in his ear. Otis Thorpe was in my ear saying, just be you. do what got you drafted here, and just don't worry about it. It's a business.
And Doc Rivers has reportedly been that for Simmons, too. As much as Doc has gone out of his way to feature Joel Embiid in the offense, there's definitely been a lot of reporting about how Doc has been super supportive of Simmons, just asking him to be who he is, not trying to turn him into someone else. So it's possible, as Mark Spears reported, that that feeling of being very relieved can pan out into something bigger. Our league pass game of the night, Pacers at Blazers. Portland, a three-point favorite, despite being on a back-to-back. This is also going to be our first look at the Pacers since they traded away Oladipo. Richard, are you optimistic about life after Oladipo for the Pacers? Caris LeVert coming in there.
Look, Caris LeVert, and you look at his numbers, they've been outstanding. He played well in the bubble. He's done so much. Again, a couple of injuries. But ultimately, like, Caris LeVert is one of those guys that you could see make a huge jump into potential All-Stars. And they've done that in Indiana. Victor Oladipo had his first All-Star game. Sabonis had his first All-Star game. So young players have made jumps in Indiana. So I think he should be excited about this opportunity.
Indiana's a great organization. You got a great big man in Sabonis. If you have a big that can draw in that defense
and pass,
that's going to be great for LeVert. So it's going to open it up. I think this team just got more athletic with him. So they're going to be an exciting team to watch in the East. And they're going to be a sneaky team because they were in the playoffs last year and people are not talking about them. So this is a way to get back in the playoffs.
Yep, absolutely. I'm very interested in that team. And, guys, also, this is just in at the buzzer.
What?
Earlier in the show, we showed you James Harden licking his lips after he crossed up Wesley Johnson in 2018. So let's watch it again
Oh, did we pick it up? Oh, we got it. Ladies and gentlemen, the original viral video.
TV pacing.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm excited.
So first you're looking at this.
Okay, we're looking at
James
this now.
James Harden.
Stare down.
I've been watching this every day for the last like 3 years.
The licking of lips. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you guys said the only competition for most disrespectful play is this one.
Watch this. Watch this. Stop. Tell him to get up.
Cross
watch this.
Jeff
watch
McGinnis.
This. Look at this. Watch this. Look at this.
Get up.
Come here. I'm over here.
Against North Carolina.
Against North Carolina in the ACC tournament.
You had a guy contesting the shot. And he made the shot. This is what you got to look at. Look at the contest.
Kids.
James was out there by himself. On
Randolph
the
Childress. He had a run. He had a run, boy.
All right. So which was more disrespectful of the two?
Oh, the Childress.
You're still putting that in number one?
Yes. He told him to get up.
Told him to get up.
And then Jade, his teammate up, who tried to contest his shot.
And make no mistake, Jeff McGinnis was an NBA player. Like, this wasn't like he played in the NBA for 8-9 years. So, like, that was not. And that was a North Carolina team that might have won a national championship.
They did.
Your most disrespectful was that giving Mutombo the finger wave back to him?
Yeah, but he had blocked my shot like 8 times, so it didn't really matter. So I dunked on him one time and did it and got a technical, so it was kind of stupid.
Who didn't love dunking on Deke?
That was one of the guys.
There you go. So much going on in the NBA. Go to bed one night. It's all different the next day. We'll see you tomorrow on The Jump.